Scotch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you are listening to Fat Guys at the Movies, the show that constantly wins the box office.
Yeah. Nobody pays to see
Yeah, they do.
We win every week. We win. We're winners.
Anyway, we got a great show planned for you this week. We are going to talk about poop flying at you in 3D. We're going to talk about old people who kill people. We're going to talk about kids whose schools are underfunded. And we're going to talk some other old people who kill people. And then we'll do DVDs. That's pretty
much
the
whole
thing.
How many old people are we talking about?
A lot. This is the old people show. Old people and children show. Because that seems to be the only thing that unites all of the releases this week. Of course, then there's also Jackass 3D. So.
Wow.
I don't know what to tell you.
I can tell you this. Let me just say this. I heard somebody who was listening to the show told me that actually last week's show was very informative, you know, almost uncharacteristically intelligent.
Mm-hmm. We're back to normal this week.
Yeah, when I was in college, I had a professor who talked about the regression effect, and he's like, whenever everybody does well on a test, I hate the next test I give, because it always goes down, because no matter what, there's always a regression effect.
Absolutely.
This is us regressing.
This is the regression week, but I think that it's...
Very appropriately, we're talking about Jackass.
Very appropriate that this week is the week that Jackass hits theaters, because if there is any sort of intellectual regression happening in our society, Jackass is an indicator, so...
Okay.
That's some real stuff right there. That's some
insight. Or the movie about the education.
Oh yeah, or that movie about how kids aren't getting taught well. Good. Anyway, before we get into all that mumbo jumbo, here's how you can get hold of us. You can go over to fatguysofthemovies.com. You can go to iTunes and search iTunes, search Fat Guys of the Movies. You can then, from iTunes, you can subscribe to us. You can view our logo. You can
also can put it on wallpaper, and you can transfer to a decal, so you can put a temporary tattoo on your belly of me.
You can subscribe to the full feed, which the full feed has a bunch of other podcasts in it. Including the Idiot Boxers and Celluloid Spotlight, which I don't even know what that is, and then also Kevin's movie reviews.
It's women's big legs.
Yeah, and that's also where you can get the That's also where you can get the second real episodes, which some of those are actually, from what I hear, pretty entertaining.
Because you don't listen.
Pretty entertaining second real stuff. So there you go.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that. Just very informative plug.
I have no idea what
that
is.
Shows on this site.
I have no one of them's about TV, I'm told. Oh, you can also email us, fatguysatfilmschoolrejects.com. You can also you can leave us a voicemail, 740-205-6456. Bam.
Nothing as awesome as that Social Network voicemail we got last week.
Yeah, I'm really disappointed. Come on, people.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, now that we have we have like 5 minutes left in this segment, and we got one other thing on the show notes to talk about, and it's a movie that neither of us have seen.
Because they're screening it very, very, very late.
For me, they're screening it at 10 o'clock on Thursday night, which means I'm going to get out like an hour and a half, like about 2 hours earlier than I normally would if I just go see the midnight show.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, at least this week, I get to save $13.50.
Right.
So I'm not the studio is showing it to me, which thank you very much, Paramount, for letting me see Jackass 3D.
It's not really a kind of movie that you need to show to critics and get their very finely tuned opinions on, because there's nothing tuned about it.
It would not be the movie you'd want to show to. Well, you know, there's always the debate, the difference between a film reviewer and a film criticism. This is not something to be shown to film people are going to write film criticism or film analysts.
I don't really know.
This
what
is
the
for
difference
film
is.
Reviewers. So it's more. You know, there's more insightful. Whereas the film reviewers are like, I liked it or I didn't. Anyways,
so
it's Jackass.
Reviewers are like you, and critics are like me.
Yeah, because I don't care about all that hoity-toity garbage. All
right.
Is Jackass 3D: stunts, vomit, and probably poop coming at you in 3D.
This isn't the best idea ever.
When Time Magazine called 3D the future of movies.
Yeah! 3, 2, 1!
We doubt This is what they had in mind.
You're taking it to a whole other level.
Since obviously we didn't see this,
it's really unconfirmed whether or not Poop is going to make an appearance in this movie.
You know what? I would not be surprised if there was a little. I'm sure there's plenty of bodily fluids.
The question is whether
sorts.
Or not it'll have more poop than the Joaquin Phoenix documentary.
You know what? That I couldn't even see it. That was a very poorly shot defecation scene.
Kevin Carr, defecation scene expert, says, hey. And I quote, "That was poorly done." So,
what are you going to do?
But I will say this about Jackass 3D. They showed some footage of Fantastic Fest, and the response was...
In 3D?
Yeah, it was pretty solid. Everybody seemed to get into that. Also, that Steve-O guy was here in Austin for that, and he lit his head on fire, so that was good, I guess.
Did anybody put it out? Hopefully not.
I think they did. But the other thing is that I've really never gotten into Jackass. I've caught some of it here and there, and I've seen some of their more notorious stunts on the YouTube. Yeah. But I cannot say that I've ever been any kind of a fan of this. I mean, there's a whole Jackass genre that kind of exists online where it's just people doing stupid stunts, and it's not always funny. However, the trailer that they cut for Jackass 3D is one of the best trailers I've seen all year.
It is good.
Very, very funny.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Here's the thing. I've seen the two movies, and I've seen like bits and pieces of episodes. And Jackass is the kind of thing, for me at least, in small doses, and the best skits are what can be funny, which tends to be what the movie is. I don't think I could handle the show, because the show had a lot of just... It's sort of like Borat. If you go back and you watch the old Dialy G shows,
right,
and you've got the bits with Borat and Bruno, you know, you'd have this half-hour show, and you're just like, well, to fill the half-hour show for whatever 10 episodes that they had on HBO, you had some sketches and stuff like that. But with an hour-and-a-half movie, you can really refine it to... It's the wrong word for this. Maybe you can distill it down to the funnier, more extreme and silly stunts. So I think an hour and a half of it. I laughed at Jackass 2. I was okay with Jackass 1, but Jackass 2, it made me laugh. I have to say.
Right. I have the same feeling about Jackass 3 that it's, you know, it'll be a lot funnier than it has any business being. Essentially, is kind of the thing around Jackass. Of course, it's juvenile. It's imbecilic. It is stupid in a very base sense of the word. So if you're not into that,
did you
thing,
pull out a thesaurus to do this?
Yeah, no, I got it queued up on my computer here. So if you're not into that sort of stuff, if that's not your kind of humor, which, like I said, it's really not my style of humor. So I probably just won't see it because I know what it is, and I think that's the only thing that I think that's probably the safest thing about Jackass is that. You know, just by watching the trailer, you know whether or not it's something you would like to see. So, yeah. I really don't
If you're
think...
going to see Jackass 3D and you come out and be like, that was stupid and gross.
And I did not expect that.
Yeah, you deserve to be punched in the face.
Fair enough. So there you go. There's our, you know, there's our review of Jackass.
It has to get a... we don't know yet because they are showing it.
Let's just go to a break. Back here on Bad Guys the Movies, I will say this to you right now, Kevin.
Sasquatch.
No.
That's not what you're going to say.
This is going to be a frustrating segment for me for two reasons.
And how is it different from anything else? I know what you're going to say. How is
for
it different
two
from
reasons,
other
really. Let me say this. Both of these movies, Red and Waiting for Superman, which we're going to talk about here in a second, are movies that I have very little excuse not seeing, other than the fact that for Red, there was a screening and they just didn't invite me, I guess. And it's interesting because with Red, I actually visited the set of this movie and saw one of the pivotal scenes being shot. So I have this kind of close tie to it, and, you know, really was interested in it and everything. You know, we talked to everybody on set, and they were telling us all about what it was going to be like, and I was like, God, this movie sounds awesome. And I just haven't seen it because I didn't get invited to the screening. Thanks, Summit Entertainment.
Wow.
Yeah, take that. I'm never defending Twilight again.
Wow. And why didn't you see Waiting for Superman?
Waiting for
Superman Sundance
played at Sundance, and I missed it there. And then it played at South by Southwest, I believe.
Because you went to the Cleveland Public Schools, and they didn't teach you how to read a timetable.
Right, and nobody ever taught me time.
I don't know where to go.
And I feel like I've been getting emails about Waiting for Superman being out since, like, June.
It's trying to do one of those grassroots releases like they do with Paranormal, the demand to see it kind of thing. It's obviously not as just over.
And I really
want to
see
popular.
Both of these movies. I hear that they are both, well, I mean, we'll hear what you have to say here in a minute, but
like
you know,
care.
Red also played at Fantastic Fest,
and you didn't see it.
And I didn't see it there. So, so there's my frustration. So let's jump right into
Let's move on from the excuses
into Red, which is a group of retired spies get back in the game when they start to be picked off by an unexpected enemy.
This place looks fantastic, Victoria. How did you make the transition?
I love it here. I love the baking. I love the flower arranging.
They retire us.
You can't just flip a switch and become someone else.
What are we supposed to do?
I do take the odd contract on the side. I just can't stop. Don't you think we ought to discuss the fact that the CIA is being used as a hit squad? And they'll do whatever they can to find us and kill us?
We're getting the band back together.
What I find really interesting about this movie is it's
back
the first time...
Again. Sorry.
What?
That's
what was
the song from the trailer. Back in the Saddle Again.
Oh, okay. Well, it's the one of the few... actually, I think it's the only... movie based on a DC comic that's not released by Warner Brothers. And I tend to think, after seeing movies like Jonah Hex, which I didn't hate but wasn't great, and Catwoman, and some really awful... Well, The Losers was good, but it just didn't do well. I'm wondering if this is the way to go. Because I have to say, I wasn't expecting much from Red. Because in general, the Summit releases I haven't been jazzed about. Mm-hmm. And I went and saw this, and
Except
thought...
Except for those Twilight movies. Well, they're all up in those.
That's right, yeah, because I'm just, you know, I'm moist for Edward. I had a hell of a lot of fun watching Red. This is a great little movie. And it reminds me a lot of The Losers, because it kind of has that... It's the team that's sort of coming back in The Losers. They were thought to be dead, but out of retirement. But it does a much better job mixing the humor and the action. And the cast is great. I mean, Bruce Willis does a fantastic job. Helen Mirren does it, and she's still sexy. Even at her age of, 96 or whatever. Morgan Freeman's great in it. John Malkovich is... genius in this movie. I mean, normally he just plays John Malkovich, and he does, but he's fantastic in this movie. And it has some fantastic action scenes in it. It's relatively fast moving, but it also has some real great sort of just humor and irreverence. And it was a lot of fun. I was surprised at how much I enjoyed watching this movie. And it does. There's a big action sequence at a shipping yard, which makes me wonder.
I was there that day.
Was that the day you were there? Which I'm like,
yeah.
Did they get a special? Were they like shooting The Losers like next door? Because it was like, it like literally looked. I kept expecting them to come around the corner, and there's like Idris Elba, and be like, whoa, what are you doing here?
And the end of the A-Team when they're in the shipping yard.
Exactly. I think
if only the Expendables had a shipping yard scene, we'd have the convergence of all these very similar team on a mission movies.
Yeah. But it was it has a fantastic cast, and it's very smartly directed. It really has that I think it captures exactly what you want it to capture, in the sense where you're like, you've never seen a movie with these characters before, but you feel like you're like, oh, this is awesome, they're back. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's that kind of thing where it feels like a really great sequel that never had its first installment.
Right.
Or like a very great sequel that was made 25 years later. Kind of. I mean, it's a great little movie. I totally recommend it. It's a total rocks.
Yeah, I can't. I personally cannot wait to see it because it really feels like. And they took a big detour, essentially, from what the comic is. The comic's very grim, and it's. I mean, it's only about 25 pages long, and it's this very dark, grim tale that does not end well for anyone. And it doesn't include the team. It's just the one guy. It's just the Frank who I.
Bruce Willis. Yeah.
In the book, his name is Paul. But anyway, so they really, it really kind of rests on Lorenzo de Bonaventura, who produces the Transformers movies. He did G.I. Joe. He produced this one, and they really decided to take a much lighter tone with it and make it into the kind of this team up movie. And then they put Helen Mirren in it, and that's awesome.
And there's lots of explosions.
So there you go. So I personally cannot wait to see this, and I'm glad that you liked it because I like. Hearing that, you know, when you actually like films that seem to be good.
you have hope for humanity.
Yeah, it gives me hope for just for you. I mean, humanity is pretty much in the tank. It's over, but, you know.
Speaking of humanity going down the toilet, the next movie is Waiting for Superman. And this is a critical look at a deteriorating public schools system.
You wake up every morning and you know that kids are getting a really crappy education right now.
So you think that most of the kids here are getting a crappy education right now?
Oh, I don't think they are. I know they are.
Either the kids are getting stupider every year, or something is wrong in the education system.
I just try to do my best at school and make my grandmother proud.
Among 30 developed countries, we rank 25th in math and 21st in science. In almost every category, we've fallen behind.
Now, this one is in limited release and it's slowly coming out. The reason I've seen it this week is because they finally showed it in Columbus. And it's opening this week. So it may be out in your neck of the woods if you're listening to this somewhere
else. It's probably been out in my neck of the woods for like 3 months.
Yeah. I have an interesting connection to this one because my wife's a teacher and I brought her along with me to see this movie because I wanted to get her perspective because, of course, whenever you have a movie that's like this, that's not quite out, and it's not out, like it wasn't out in Ohio yet, and you get all this buzz, and it's directed by Davis Guggenheim, who did An Inconvenient Truth, and An Inconvenient Truth, it's not an unbiased documentary. It definitely comes from a point of view, and it's sometimes very heavy-handed, just as An Inconvenient Truth was, very heavy-handed on its political leanings. This one is very heavy-handed. It comes with the approach that it's like, well, charter schools are kind of like the answer. You can at times feels like a commercial for charter schools, and there's a lot of omissions to that I can't even begin to go into. But what I think it does do more than anything else is it shows the reality of the just like the worst school systems in America. These are not every school system, but you know, like they do like Washington D.C. and they do I believe L.A. and they've got New York City, and they show just some of the insanity that is tied up in the bureaucracy. But so if I were to say if it has any anti bent to it, because there are some teachers out there that are saying it's anti teacher. It's not anti teacher. It's anti bad teacher. Who are tenured, who you can't get rid of,
right?
But it's anti-bureaucracy, which there's way too much bureaucracy in public schools, and they're right. And it's anti-union, so the union, you know, the OEA and the AFT are gonna just, or not the OEA, the NEA, the OEA is Ohio. They're gonna be very against this movie. Exactly.
Sorry.
But it's definitely worth seeing because I think it brings to light some issues. But being such a short film, or just being a single film, you couldn't explore. They bite off a huge chunk of the problem, and they only explore certain elements of it. But I think what the best thing it can do is start a dialogue about this, and what can be done. And it's heartbreaking, and because it follows these kids that are just in these crumbling dropout factories, and what a struggle it is if you live in these districts to get a good education. It's worth seeing, but like I said, it definitely has its own point of view.
Yeah. Well, it's just, sounds like it's one of those movies parents should actually go see.
It's worth seeing, especially if you're active in your kid's education. So I'm going to say kind of rocks.
All right, I'm going to say time for a break.
Yes.
miles of hard road, 33 years of tough luck, 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck.
Oh, yeah.
And welcome back to Fat Guys in the Movies. We are in the infamous middle segment where we can say things like shit instead of poop.
But I would still use poop just because that's how I roll.
You use poop? What do you use poop for? That's disgusting.
Mostly for my 3D work.
Do you spackle your turd house or something?
I'm really
like that?
Upset that I haven't seen Red yet. This is making me more and more pissed off by the
In the break you were watching like clips and stuff and you're like, that looks so awesome, and I'm like, it was.
Yeah. God, man, this just is now, it's just gonna wear on me.
Now you're just depressed.
I know. Well, you know what? The rest of this show I'm just gonna be sad that I didn't get invited to a press screening and I didn't see it at Fantastic Fest.
Well, let's talk about the box office.
My life is so hard, Kevin.
Oh, my Lord. Oh, man.
I really should just end it. I really should just jump out of a three-story window.
Eat a shotgun. Just put the barrel in your mouth first, because if you just put the other one, if you put the butt in your mouth first, first you're putting a butt in your mouth, and then you'll shoot your feet off, and then no one wants to see that.
Right. Okay, well, let's move on to whatever
else I should work for a
do.
Suicide hotline.
What else is going on in the world?
We've got the box office. Let's talk about that.
Oh,
the
yeah.
Social Network won the box office, which I did not expect. I expected Secretariat to win.
Did I not predict that the Social Network was going to make a comeback or make a strike?
Well, I don't know
second
if
week.
Its second week it did well.
This is one of the only weeks where I can be like, hey, I won, because usually I don't win at the box office. But last week I do very specifically remember that you said Secretariat would win, and I was like, nope, Social Network.
I totally thought it would, and it was. I think part of it was just, I think with Secretariat, the biggest problems with it was it was an old audience. I mean, it only appealed to the older generation. Not that older people can't enjoy a movie too, but I don't think it appealed to the younger generation.
Right,
and also, if you don't know anything about the movie, it's like if you go and you watch, if you go into the theater and you see on the marquee and it's like, let's go see, you know, whatever. And Secretariat, you have no idea what it's about.
Right.
You'd be like, okay.
See a movie with Gahool in the title.
Yeah. Well, Legend, the Owls of, you know, it's about owls.
Right.
And it sounds like a Legend of the Guardians, the Owls of Gahool, you know, it's not.
Sounds like some Lord of the Rings shit.
Yeah, it's not like Eat, Pray, Love. You know, it's not that.
But then
anyways,
again, Eat, Pray, Love is pretty much the most straightforward title of the year.
Yes,
she eats,
although I
she
wish
she prays
it...
and she loves, and that's really boring.
Eat, pray, sleep, snooze is what it was for me. But anyways, the Life as We Know It came in second at $14.5 million, which isn't surprising, but it's again not fantastic. But you know, even then, Social Network, it was such an underperforming weekend because even My Soul to Take came in fifth, and I said it would be lucky to get in the top five.
Yeah,
and it barely squeaked in. Beat out The Town,
right,
which is
in
it,
its
which was
fourth week of
fourth
release.
Week.
Yeah.
Interesting to note, you know, Social Network, a lot of people, and one thing I hate about box office pundits is they always throw in these like, people like The Social Network, or the one on Box Office Mojo is Social Network saves face in second weekend. And this is not to take anything away from The Social Network, because it did well, and it's doing well. Mm. But it's not doing super fantastic. The just under $15.5 million is the third lowest box office win in 2010. The next lowest would be How to Train Your Dragon in its fifth week of release when it won at the end of April, and then over Labor Day weekend, The American won with $13.1 million, and then The Social Network won. And it's doing well with its relatively modest $50 million budget. It's almost at that number, and it'll make it. But there is a sense that it's this bona fide huge hit. It's like Wall Street, Money Never Sleeps. There's another one. It won the weekend with like $20 million, but on the whole, it's made just a hair under what The Social Network's made. All right, so.
Yeah. Well, and I guess the thing about The Social Network, especially if you work online as we do, is it's a movie that's being talked about far more than it's being
seen. That's very
true. So, you know, and you'll have that this time of year. This time of year is the time of year where movies will, you know, come out. And the best picture of the entire year last year made like $6 million at the box office. You know, it was something stupid. Like, The Hurt Locker did not make a lot of money at the box office. No one saw it, but it still won, you know, the Academy Award for Best Picture, and everyone should have seen it because it was awesome.
Whereas, Avatar made $2.7 billion, and everyone saw it, and it didn't win. Not saying it should have, but...
Right. No, The Hurt Locker. I mean, if you haven't seen The Hurt Locker yet, I mean, come on, people. It's a really...
The Hurt Locker had made $16.4 million. It just made... Let's put it this way. The Hurt Locker, an entire domestic one, made
less than the social...
Just a bit over almost what The Social Network made last weekend. Right. And so, worldwide, it's under $50 million. So even though... Yeah, just because a movie gets great buzz doesn't mean everyone sees it.
Right, and it's going to be, it's a successful film in the sense that it's going to make back its budget, it's getting talked about, you know, in the awards conversation, people think it's going to be one of the best movies of the year, so I think, there you go, it's a successful film, and, you know, who knows what's going to happen next week, because next week we've got, you know, we've got Jackass opening, and Jackass poses a...
I think Jackass is going to
be... Jackass poses a kind of a fair threat, and I think Red does as well. I think Red and Jackass are going to go 1-2, and Social Network will pull in 3, just because, first of all, the marketing on Red's been pretty okay. Obviously, Jackass has a following, so Jackass, if Jackass ends up in the 25 to 30 million range, I will not be surprised.
Again, the Social Network, even if it drops 30%, it's still going to be right up to 1 million.
Yeah, and I'll be...
And that's, it's going to be hard to beat, like, Jackass. I mean, even Criterion will beat a $10 million box office show.
Yeah. So, and I think with Red, the interesting thing about that movie is that it has a lot of name recognition, and it unlike Secretariat. So we talked about Secretariat being a movie that only really appealed to an older crowd. Red is an action movie with Bruce Willis in it. Bruce Willis seems to span the entire gamut of demographic. Yeah. Like, everyone wants to see a Bruce Willis movie, except for Cop Out, I guess.
Well, yeah. That still made $40-some million.
Yeah, but I mean, and Red looks cool. It's a cool looking movie,
and it's getting good buzz.
It appeals
too
to everybody, and it's getting good buzz. So I wouldn't be surprised if Red makes it contends with Jackass 3D.
Here's the other reason why I think Jackass is a shoo-in to win. It is the first one opened up with just over $20 million, ended up making 60-some. The second one opened up with almost $30 million and made about 70. I think it's safe to say $25 million, also including the fact that it's going to be the higher prices for 3D. So I wouldn't be surprised if it pushes 30, maybe even more. Just because – and here's the other thing. It's been four – people don't realize it. It's been 4 years since the second Jackass. It's been 8 years since the first Jackass. I mean, this is like it's like Star Wars. You know, like Star Wars, they take 3 years to make a movie. And I don't know why Jackass takes 4 years, but that's, I think, going to work towards it in the sense that it's not a saturated marketplace, and we haven't had a whole lot of knockoffs. So if you like Jackass, this is your only shot. And it's funny. I have a neighbor who even – I was going to my car, and the other day he's like, hey, are you going to get to see Jackass? And it's like, that's like the first time somebody's at – you know, like maybe Iron Man 2 he asked me about, you know, this summer. Right. So like that's –
Yeah, I have a feeling Jackass will be a pretty solid hit. Also, the notion of Jackass on concept in 3D makes me interested in it. I'm like, what does that even mean? Like, and the fact that they shot it in 3D and it's very much being made as a 3D movie as opposed to, you know, like Warner Brothers taking Clash of the Titans and just kind of dressing it up like a 3D movie and sending it.
Yeah, it's
to the
not
mall.
Retrofitting it to 3D. I mean, they're doing stunts in 3D.
This is the movie that 3D has been waiting for.
Well, and as much as I'm a big supporter of 3D, as has been said many times before, and everyone's like, oh, it's a gimmick. I'm like, no, it's not a gimmick for, you know, some movies. It's great, you know. It's totally a gimmick for Jackass because you want to see the stupid
right
stuff.
But it's the right kind of movie to have a gimmick for.
It's okay.
That
it's
movie
a gimmick
is all gimmick. Like, you know that somebody's nuts are going to get smashed. Like,
in 3D.
The entire film is a gimmick, so.
What's funny, though, about Jackass, which I 3D, which I think is interesting, is I've seen the trailer ahead of 3D movies. I have yet to see the trailer in 3D. I don't think they cut a 3D trailer.
I don't think so either.
Yeah, I mean, it's because, like, when I went and saw Piranha, I had the glasses. They were projected. They could have shown it in 3D. It was a 3D movie. And then, of course, then they go to the next one, and then everything else is in, you know, the trailers are in 3D for everything else except Jackass. So I don't know. I think it's gonna do. It's gonna win the weekend. It's probably gonna be 25 to 30 million. That's my prediction.
Right. I just think it's a fascinating concept to have a Jackass movie in 3D. Why wouldn't you want to go see? I mean, unless you're really, really not into that type of humor, which many, many people are not. But yeah, if you're even remotely interested in Jackass, which I'm probably the most remotely interested person.
My grandmother would be more remote.
Then absolutely. I mean, I'm probably, if I have some time, I'll probably try and double feature Red and Jackass this weekend.
Yeah.
So just to say that, because they both feel like movies that you want to see on the big screen. You know,
true.
Jackass, of course, being in 3D, that you can't get at home, at least not in the same way. And that's then true. Red being a very cool action movie. So. Yeah. I predict them both doing well. They're going to compete pretty hard for their number one spot.
Yeah, I think Jackass is going to come out on top. I just don't see Red. These movies tend to haven't been doing as well this year. So I'm thinking $25 million is what you can get.
Willis, Helen Mirren, Morgan Freeman. It's got some.
I still think
20. It's nothing but names. That trailer is nothing but recognizable actors, serious. Good,
yeah, but that doesn't push a movie to that. So
I don't know. We'll see. I'm very curious to see how Red does, because I feel like they got the right parts right. They got they seem to get the tone right. They got the movie being entertaining right.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to see how that cast markets.
Okay.
So
cool.
Woohoo!
Next one. We can do the Fat Guy Five now. Speaking of Red.
Yes. Badass old people time.
That's right. Five most badass old people in movies. Maybe not the most badass, but definitely five badass old people.
But five great performances. And essentially, I think that all of these, with the exception of one, were actors over 60 at the time. I know that the third one might not be.
The third one is a mix.
It's one of them was over 60, the other one wasn't.
But,
let's start with the first one, which is Rambo. It's Sly Stallone in the most recent Rambo movie. That guy's like 65, isn't he?
Yeah.
And he's just in amazing shape, and he kills a lot of
bad dudes.
Cambodians. It was Cambodia. Yeah, Cambodia. He kills very, very many people in that movie.
Yeah.
High body count.
Yes, very much so. And big explosions. The next one is David Carradine, our favorite fetishist in Kill Bill Volume 2.
Mm-hmm.
Just paying, giving credit where credit's due. You know, the guy went out with a bang. Let's just put it that way. There was none of this, he didn't get a disease. You know, he wasn't like, hadn't have a stroke, and you didn't see him like 10 years later and go like, oh my God, he got old. No, that dude killed himself masturbating, and we can only all hope to go that way.
Yeah, there you go. Number three, this is the one that we don't, they're not all over 60. It's Lethal Weapon 4. Riggs and Murtaugh, of course. Danny Glover and that Mel Gibson guy. Danny Glover was older, older, right? Mel Gibson's still.
Yeah. Well, the first one was him saying he was going to retire, I think, in the first one. And he's like, I'm getting too old for this shit. And so by the time they get to the last one, they're making a point of that Mel Gibson, the Riggs character, is getting old.
Right. And mostly we pick this one because not only are they badasses in the movie, but they complain about being old the entire time.
Yet they still go up against Jet Li.
Right, yet they still kick Jet Li's ass, which as we saw in another movie full of old people, Jet Li is a badass old dude.
He is, dude.
So he wasn't old then, though.
He's getting there. He's a lot old. He just has a baby face. He's a lot. He was like 40 when he did Lethal Weapon 4.
Yeah, so. That's true. All right.
Next one is Sean Connery and The Rock. Has to be a Michael Bay movie in this, apparently.
Yes. Winners go home and fuck the prom queen.
Wow.
God, I love that. That's one of my all-time favorite Connery. I mean, Dr. No, the first Bond movie, is my favorite, one of my favorite movies of all time. But, God, Connery is so good in The Rock. He is so, so much. And that is kind of the essence of this list, is like, no matter, age does not matter, that dude is a badass. Like, he is the strongest, wittiest, most intense person in that entire movie. And he's acting against Ed Harris. Yeah. I mean, come on now. So.
Well, and, he's the kind of man's man who makes makes ladies drop their panties, and he can take off his diaper and have sex with them.
I guess. Sean Connery doesn't need a diaper.
I'm pretty sure he doesn't now.
No, he doesn't. That dude's still.
No, I'm pretty sure when he sneezes, it comes out both ends.
You know how people get, you know how a lot of people get wrapped up in celebrity deaths and they get really sad when like a celeb person they don't know dies just because they saw him in a movie once.
Especially when it's like somebody who's like really really old and they haven't done a movie in like 15 years and they die.
Right, and I mean they were gonna die.
Not
anyway,
to belittle death. I mean these people have families.
I mean it sucks. It's a shame. And it's really terrible for the families of these people. But I will truly be sad when Sean Connery goes, because I'm fairly reasonably certain that I'm going to live to see that happen, unless I get hit by a bus tomorrow or something.
If you stop, you've got to stop eating that barbecue and drinking all that beer in Austin, Texas.
Seriously. Man. All right, and let's finally, see. The last one, speaking of people who bring death with them everywhere they go, Clint Eastwood in both Gran Torino and Unforgiven. He kills more people than Unforgiven, that's for sure.
What was funny is Unforgiven was like 20 years ago, and he was an old dude then.
Right, and then he did Gran Torino in his 80s. Yeah. In his 80s.
Yep.
He's by far the oldest person on this list.
Get off my lawn.
Yeah, that too.
That's my lawn. And I want to give an honorable mention to Robert Duvall in Secondhand Lines, because he's an old dude, and he's quite a badass. And what was the reason this one has a little bit of a... No one remembers this movie. It's a fantastic film, though. Him and Michael Caine were these old dudes who were raising a... Yeah. Like a...
Oh, man, Michael Caine. Yeah. How did we leave him off this
list? I know. But anyways, there's a scene in there where Robert Duvall, who's like 70 in the movie, goes into a diner, and he gets in a fight with some young punk, and he beats the holy crap out of him. And it happened only a couple years after my grandfather, who at the time was about 70, he had gotten in a scuffle with, he and my 50-year-old fat cousin gotten a scuffle with these like 18-year-old kids,
boy.
And they beat the holy shit out of these kids because the kids stole their four-wheeler. It's way out in West Virginia. But there, that holds a little bit of my
sounds
heart.
Sounds like that's about where it would be from.
It was totally, man. Yeah. They went and they these kids stole his four-wheeler. So my grandfather and my cousin went and looked around, because everybody knows everybody. And so they found out where it went, and they went and found the guys at this like old abandoned factory and yanked them off the thing and then just beat the shit out of them and drove away.
Well done.
So, yeah, that's why that holds a little special. So yeah, when I'm 70, don't steal my shit, because I will beat you.
All right.
With that...
Sweet. I think that is that pretty much wraps us up for this segment.
Unfortunately. This was not a good, like, the last week. This was way less intellectual.
Here on Fat Guys the Movies. Apologies to everyone who listened to the third segment and was expecting something insightful, intelligent, and or useful. You got none of that in the last segment.
None. However, regression effect. Intervention.
We did identify some badasses over the age of 60. So
yes.
There you go. And it's time, with that note, to move on to the world famous DVD roundup.
Intervention.
Okay.
That was a reference to It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia season 5. I was watching the DVD special features on that recently, and I was just liking the intervention episode where they gave Frank an intervention.
Mm-hmm.
And you know who they have? This didn't come out this week, but it's worth mentioning. They have Dr. Drew do a commentary with them on that episode, which is actually, I hate Dr. Drew. I think he's a pompous ass. But
oh, God, I love Dr. Drew. Do you not like Dr. Drew?
Because he's an idiot. But anyways,
he's awesome.
I said that like Charlie from, because he's an idiot. Well, I just like Dr. Drew. Anyway, so, but what's really funny is he does the commentary with Danny DeVito, and he's like psychoanalyzing the characters in the show. Mm-hmm. And it's actually really funny because
Danny DeVito's like, hey. Check out my troll foot.
troll foot, yeah. So, you know what I would, though? I would, you know, Dr. Drew is only one letter away from Dr. Dre, and I would totally watch Dr. Dre Celebrity Rehab.
Because
that would be really interesting.
Dr. Dre hosting Loveline.
Or Splice, you could have Dr. Dren Celebrity Rehab.
Where she just kills everybody at the end?
That would be awesome.
That's not a spoiler. I haven't actually seen Splice
yet,
as we discussed off the air. Speaking of which, I think we're supposed to be talking about DVDs here.
DVD Roundup.
We'll start with my picks. One being How to Train Your Dragon, which is out on Friday. Very dumb, strange stupid release date for a DVD. Usually everything comes out on Tuesday. However, the movie is very good, and you should see it. It's one of the one of the better animated flicks of the year. Although, judging by the box office numbers, you've probably already seen it before.
It had a slow burn. It started out of the gate not great, and it just sort of, like I said, it won the weekend, and it's like fourth weekend.
Yeah, it stuck in there pretty well. Also, it opened in March, which is usually pretty good for a movie. If it's solid, it'll
solid family fare. Moving on, The Magician.
What else? Oh, The Magician, Criterion Edition, Ingmar Bergman's The Magician. Very cool movie with Max von Sydow. Kind of an interesting meditation on the audience and the artist. And also, just Max von Sydow's creepy. So, it's totally worth watching. Also, The Hangover, The Extreme Edition, which is the same Blu-ray that was released before, but now it's got this It's got this wedding album book with many more photos. If you've seen The Hangover, you know what I'm talking about, the photos at the end credits. There are more of those, and they are ridiculous. Yeah. So
very funny movie, and the DVD, the theatrical, it's got the unrated version, which is like 10 minutes longer.
I didn't like the... That was one of the unrated cuts that I didn't like.
Really?
When I watched it, I was like, this doesn't really have the same energy as the theatrical cut.
Yeah, it slows it down 10 minutes.
But the on the disc, if you don't own it on Blu-ray already, buy this one because it has a fantastic picture-in-picture commentary with the cast. Yeah. It's just as funny as the movie. Then also Leaves of Grass, starring Edward Norton, and Edward Norton is worth a rent, I would say. Probably not worth buying, but definitely worth seeing. Ed Norton and some pot humor.
Directed by Tim Blake Nelson.
Directed by Tim Blake Nelson is pretty good for, I think it's his first time out, so it's pretty solid.
Yeah.
And then finally, Sex and Lucia, which is an amazing film, a beautiful film, and has Paz Vega naked through the whole thing. Ooh. So, have you ever seen Sex and Lucia?
No, but I might now.
Dude, it is probably one of the most intensely erotic, movies that I've ever seen.
You know, that's awesome, but hearing you say that something's erotic just kind of
just see it and you'll just know. I don't want to say. Right. I don't want to talk about it anymore. So.
You picked all the big ones. I'm also going to throw out there Jonah Hex. Now, a lot of people hated this movie. I didn't hate this movie. I thought it wasn't great. But I found it's 80 minutes long. You're in and you're out. And you know, there's a lot worse stuff that's been released. I'm just apologizing at this point, but there's a lot worse stuff that's been released in 2010 than Jonah Hex. The Lost Boys, The Thirst. It's the third Lost Boys movie. Corey Feldman is still playing the Frog Brother.
Yeah.
Has a certain sort of funness to it because it is a little bit irreverent and it's aware of itself, which sometimes is a problem with a movie, but it's cute. It's a direct-to-video vampire movie. Dollhouse Season 2 with Elijah Dushku dressing up in a bunch of fetish outfits, which is awesome.
Pretty solid show. It's kind of sad to see it go, but I mean, there's a reason why it didn't get picked up for another season.
Yeah, definitely. And then there's another one I'm going to throw out there called Circle, which stars Gail O'Grady from NYPD Blue. Smaller little release, kind of a thriller, serial killer type thing. You know, if you like those sort of direct-to-DVD crime thrillers. This one, you can check that one out. And then the stinker,
We have dueling stinkers this week. Mine is Jonah Hex, because as you mentioned, it's not great.
Yeah. And mine is How to Train Your Dragon, not necessarily for the movie at all, although I wasn't gaga over the movie, but I have to say, what the hell is up with this stupid release date thing? So
it doesn't
make
any sense.
Yeah. Shame on
all me. Right, so there's that. We'll wrap up our reviews real quick. Jackass 3D, we have not seen, but we're kind of excited for.
Yeah.
Red, which you saw and said.
It rocks.
And then Waiting for Superman.
Kind of rocks.
Next week, we've got Paranormal Activity 2 and Hereafter, which I believe are about the same thing. The Afterlife.
Only
and
one has murder.
Yeah, and then the other one's got a baby crawling backwards downstairs. So, in the meantime, catch us over at fatguysthemovies.com. Do that iTunes thing where you listen to the iTunes and rate us and whatever. And then we'll be back next week.
Holla!